the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Alicia Quivido. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Damian is on fire this morning. I'm telling you. Hold on.
I'm going to be talking to the Bleacher Brothers. I am fired up
as well. He's excited. So, yes. Hold on to your hat.
Yeah, please.
That's coming up, but first, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant your church, we pray, Almighty God, that she may have St. Stephen of Hungary, who fostered her growth while a king on earth, as her glorious defender in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Stephen of Hungary, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have some events in your listening area we will give you details about. Stay with us. That'll be in about 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, Dr. Roland Miller joins us. He's the Vice President of Curriculum and Director of Clergy Initiatives with the St. John Paul II Foundation. Today, he joins us to talk about the Converging Roads Healthcare Conference that's coming up in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. You guys, this is such a widely attended conference. So glad we're talking about this again. The first time I heard of it was before COVID, and it was very popular. And you also get your credits as well if you're in the healthcare field. Stay tuned for that. We'll give you details. Father Casey Cole joins us in 35 minutes, which is why Damian is all dressed up in his Cubbies uniform. He's going to give us a summer update from the Bleacher Brothers, which is so cool because it's Franciscan friars who travel to different Major League Baseball stadiums to bring the word of God and to also share the love of baseball. So Damien's going to be interviewing him and going to get an update. We talked to him a few months ago when they first started. Curious to see how their summer went and what they're doing now. So it's going to be a great interview with Father Casey. And Dr. Leonard J. DeLorenzo joins us to talk about the Chronicles of Transformation, a spiritual journey with C.S. Lewis. So that'll be a great interview. Looking forward to today's show, Damian. It's going to be a really, really nice topic.
I'm a fan of C.S. Lewis. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Me too. It should be another hot day with partly cloudy skies. Heat advisory back in effect. See what happens when you don't get those showers in
That's the afternoon every day.
Well, only a 15% chance of rain to pop up today. Winds out of the west, northwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. High is going to be 95, low 75. We won't even talk about the humidity. Tomorrow, it's going to be a carbon copy. And come Thursday, that's when the rain chances come back and increase to 80%. Temperatures in and around the area right now, everybody getting close to 80 or above. Bay St. Louis, 84 degrees. The Crescent City, it's 82. In Baton Rouge, the North Shore, and Houma Thibodaux, all experiencing 79 degree temperatures right now. So warming up rather quickly. It is going to be a hot one, but go out and enjoy it and make the most of it. So, what are y'all's plans for today after the show's over with?
Going to go outdoors?
Work.
No.
Answer email.
I gotta stay here.
Stay hydrated, you guys.
We have stuff to do.
Catholic Man Night's coming up. But Catholic Man Night's coming up. We do have a number of events that we're gonna tell everybody about.
That's right.
In just a minute. But first, we're gonna bring you your gospel and gospel reflection. Already 5 after the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. good Tuesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The rich young man left Jesus disappointed in himself, deeply troubled at his own refusal. Haven't we sometimes experienced this same dissatisfaction? "If you wish to be perfect," wrote St. John of the Cross, "sell your will and give it to the poor in spirit, and come to Christ by the path of meekness and humility, and follow him all the way to Calvary and to the grave." It's an empty life to trade the kingdom of God in order to reign as a petty king over our cold and inert possessions. Riches are not evil in themselves. Their danger lies in the way they affect our mentality, self-image, and behavior. They lead us to the opposite path of the poor in spirit, to whom the kingdom of God belongs. Jesus wants us to be rich as God is rich, and not as the world and our fallen human nature envision being rich. In God's kingdom, love is the only currency that has any value. "What then shall we have?" Peter asks. The only certainty is having Jesus, and Jesus alone. But Jesus is so poor and so lacking any kind of important connections. I mean, after all, he too has left everything and emptied himself. He set the pattern. The intimacy of love that Jesus offers is enjoyed on the other side of the cross. This is why the church fathers refer to the cross as the marriage bed of the Word. Here we encounter the great exchange. It is the best bargain ever offered. In the new world, on the day of universal regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. God has made the other world the place where he will reward his faithful, because this world is incapable of containing what he wants to give those who are faithful to him. In the book of Revelation, Jesus promised, "He who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy and Father Chris. Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday morning to you. I'm Damian Collado. Gabby Smith and Alicia Quibido are here as well on Wake Up. So glad you could join us. Time to rise and shine, and also time to tell you about a few events in and around our area. In particular, in Baton Rouge, the St. Jude Catholic Church Booster Club will be having their annual golf classic on Monday, September 26th at Santa Maria Golf Course in Baton Rouge. That's my home parish. It's a four-player scramble, and shotgun start is at 10 a.m. Team entry is $600. Top three teams will receive awards, and there's plenty of prizes and contests all for the day, and includes one particular prize, which is unusual. Usually a hole-in-one, you get a car. This tournament, hole-in-one, you get free tuition for your kid for a year.
Okay, that's pretty
slick.
At St.
Jude's. That's pretty cool. Yeah, so proceeds go to support the St. Jude Athletic Club. And for more information, just go to St. Jude, that's stjudebr.org. Okay?
Wow, that sounds great. Well, Saturday, September 10th, Steve Ray is coming to Baton Rouge. He will be at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center. The topic is Heroes of Faith. So that is Steve Ray. Y'all, everybody knows Steve Ray. We have him on. He's an author, filmmaker, apologist, and Holy Land guide. He's actually in Italy right now. So he will rock your world.
Oh.
Yep, with stories of St. John the Evangelist, Peter, the first pope, and Saul the Pharisee. The event will be held Saturday, September 10th at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center in Baton Rouge. That's from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. The tickets are $60. To purchase them, you can call Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center, or you can visit cypressspringsprayercenter.org. Seating is limited, so you want to hurry up and make that call or visit cypressspringsprayercenter.org.
Awesome. Well, over at Divine Mercy Parish in Kenner, everyone is invited to join them on a 12-week journey into the heart of our Eucharistic Lord, filled with in-person events, praise and worship nights, weekly prayer reflections, obviously Eucharistic adoration, and so much more. Source and Summit, a Eucharistic revival, that's what it's called. This is designed with everyone in mind, no matter the age or stage in your faith life. So the revival begins on Sunday, August 21st at 6:30 p.m. For more information, you can go to divinemercyparish.org. So that's actually coming up, you guys.
Yes.
Double
yes.
check that out.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of cities that have the Sarah Club. The Sarah mm-hmm. Club is a vocation club that prays for priests and seminarians. And the Baton Rouge chapter of the Sarah Vocations Club is a meeting once again on the first and third Fridays of each month in Baton Rouge at St. Agnes Church. They're located on East Boulevard here in Baton Rouge. The meetings will begin at 6 a.m. with a mass, and then that's followed up by a breakfast and a guest speaker. The next meeting is this coming Friday. For more information, call St. Agnes Church. That number, 225-383-4127.
All right. And the Diocese of Baton Rouge this Saturday, August 20th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Diocese of Baton Rouge is holding the post-abortion ministry Entering Canaan. It's sponsoring a Women's Day of Health. Again, that's Saturday, August 20th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. For confidential information about the event, you can call the diocese or you can email enteringcanaan@diobr.org.
Good. All right. Well, if you're hungry to learn more about saints, you're in luck, because you're going to learn about Saint Stephen of Hungary coming up in just a moment on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Stephen of Hungary. Stephen is the most important of Hungary's Christian kings and the country's spiritual patron. Born in 975, he was baptized at age 10. His father was the chief of the Magyars, a group of raiders who had come to the Danube the century before. When he succeeded his father, Stephen established Christianity as the religion of his country for both political and religious reasons. He suppressed a series of revolts by pagan nobles and welded the Magyars into a strong national group. With Rome's approval, he was crowned king on Christmas Day in the year 1001. Stephen created a system of tithes to support churches and pastors and to relieve the poor. Out of every 10 towns, one had to build a church and support a priest. With a certain amount of violence, he abolished pagan customs and commanded all to marry except clergy and religious. Stephen had a special devotion to the poor and often distributed alms to them in disguise. The death of his son Emmerich in 1031 resulted in a fight over succession to the throne. Stephen died in 1038 and was canonized along with Emmerich in 1083. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. and Alicia Quibido. Our first guest today is Dr. Roland Miliari. He's the Vice President of Curriculum and Director of Clergy Initiatives with the St. John Paul II Foundation. And today he joins us to talk about the Converging Roads Healthcare Conference. This is a medical ethics in light of the gospel. You guys, this was such a widely attended conference, both in the Archdiocese of New Orleans and the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Dr. Roland. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, this was such a widely attended conference that every time we do talk about it, I want to make sure we have enough time to not only promote it, but get the word out there as well. So tell our listeners a little bit more about what they can expect at the next Converging Roads conference.
Sure. So as you mentioned, it's a day-long conference. It is on August the 27th at the Tracy Center from 9:15 to 6:45 p.m. The focus this year is on medical ethics in the light of the gospel. So it's geared towards healthcare professionals, nurses, doctors, and covering a variety of topics integrating faith and the practice of medicine.
Can I also talk about the different topics that you will be discussing? Medical ethics, I think that's something that has been in not only in the news a lot lately, but we always want to put our trust in our healthcare workers when we want to get the best medical care for not only ourselves, but our families. So talk about what exactly you will be discussing and some of the speakers.
Sure. So we have a variety of speakers. So we have Deacon Patrick Lappert, who's also a surgeon, addressing the topic of gender dysphoria, the issues relating to patients with transgenderism. We have Claudia Sotomayor talking about the allocation of resources. We have Dr. Redinger talking about vaccines. We have Jeffrey Bishop, Dr. Bishop, talking about bioethics, particularly approaching it, in light of the liturgy. And then we have Father Nicanor Austriaco, who is a Dominican who is a doctor in biology and a doctor in theology, addressing varying issues relating to genetics and ethical issues relating to that.
Wow. You also talk about key principles in bioethics and genetic screening. This is quite interesting. Genetic engineering, the gift of life and the dignity of a human person. That's quite interesting. Also talk about the most important, not the most important thing, but I think a lot of the things that attract people to attend this is also the credits that people get, the continuing education credits. Talk about that and how those people who attend can acquire those.
Sure. There are 7 hours continuing education credits, CNEs for nurses, physicians, physician assistants, chaplains, social workers, and all that information is available online.
Great. Also, tell us, is this an in-person only conference as well? Because I know the last few times it has been a virtual component as well.
Sure. Since COVID, back in 2020, we've pivoted, and so we have both in-person and then an online option available as well. And so, people in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and beyond, right? Really, anyone in the country could participate in the conference.
Okay, great. Is there a deadline to register as well? Because it is approaching on Saturday, August 27th.
Yes, the deadline, I would like to say, is the Thursday prior, but I'm not entirely sure, actually, Gabby. No.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, you can go to forlifeandfamily.org. It's so great for you to join us and talk about this, Dr. Roland. How has everything been going? Because the St. John Paul II Foundation is so widely, has such a wide reach of things that you guys do. Anything that you guys have been up to or anything that you guys are looking forward to in the fall?
Yeah, we've got all kinds of different conferences. I mean, in addition to Converging Roads, which is for healthcare professionals, we have a number of marriage conferences. So we have one in Houston. It's actually two conferences, one in Bolsher in spring on the 24th, and then we have conferences in Venice, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, Reno, Nevada, San Francisco, Detroit, Oklahoma City, and a number of other cities in the fall and in the spring as well. And then last year, during one of our one day in the spring, we actually had three Converging Road conferences on one day. What was exciting for me was that maybe about a quarter of them were either nursing students or medical students or university students. So there's an interest from young adults, either college age or graduate students interested in integrating their faith into their profession.
Absolutely. Dr. Roland Miliari, thank you so much for being with us today. It's a joy talking to you.
Thank you so much, Gabby, and I look forward to seeing people at the conference.
Okay, sounds great. You can go online and register at forlifeandfamily.org. The event is going to be on Saturday, August 27th at the Bishop Tracy Center. That's in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. I posted the link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, so definitely take a look at that, especially if you're looking to get your continuing education credits. And one thing I did want to say is that there is in-person ticket options, online ticket options, sponsorships, student scholarships, so definitely check that out. So, I know this was widely attended before, but yeah, you guys, a lot of events going on in our area as well.
Right.
And one of the ones we wanted to talk about was our Catholic Man Night, Alicia. We've been getting some reservations on that as
we
well.
We have, and it is coming up. We're very excited. Chef John Fulce is hosting us again this year at White Oak Estate and Gardens in Baton Rouge. You don't have to be from Baton Rouge. You can come. We have guys from all over. This year, our guest speaker is, ready?
Play ball.
Coach Paul Manieri, former head coach of the LSU Tiger baseball team.
Yeah.
So we're very happy to have him come. You know, last year we started a new option of the fraternal organization, the Fraternity of the Leaf. That's a little membership organization, supporters of the radio station. And that includes an hour patron party prior to Catholic Man Night. And it's a great opportunity to hang out with our guest speaker and with Chef Fulce himself and get some little behind the scenes tastes
great
and tours.
Food.
And
good,
absolutely.
Good drink and a stogie or two for those
there
who like
go.
To light them up.
If you
don't have to, but
that's right.
It's
if you
available.
Like cigars, we have Regina cigars. As a non-cigar smoker, the most wonderful part about them is the beautiful art that is on each one.
There. And on the back of each label, there's a prayer.
There's a prayer, yes.
So it's pretty cool.
It's a great night for guys.
It is a Catholic man night.
It is.
Men do not get together as often as we should as Catholics, and this night is that night.
That's right. So we're very excited. It is on a Wednesday.
So where would one go if they wanted to attend?
They would go to ccradio.live. It is on the homepage of our website. It's not the first thing you see. You could just scroll a teeny bit. It's the second thing you see, and there is a link there to get all the information you need and how to make your reservation. You can even reserve a table of eight.
Yep.
And hey, you can sponsor a priest, too. We have lots of priests who come in. And enjoy this event. So so go to ccradio.live and check it out. It will be a wonderful evening for Catholic men. So
and it'd be good. Paul Manieri, you don't hear about him as much, but he's still an advocate for LSU.
Yes,
and
he is.
He's got a lot of good stories from his baseball career.
And a great Catholic man.
And he's a good Catholic man. Mm-hmm, that's right.
So that'll be fun. ccradio.live to find out more information about Catholic Man Night. We also wanted to mention our friends at Missionaries of Charity in Baton Rouge. They are at St. Agnes Church downtown in Baton Rouge. They are celebrating the feast of St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. That will be on Monday, September 5th. If you are local, you know that they did have a fire in the kitchen there. So it will not be at St. Agnes this year. It will be at 11 a.m. at Sacred Heart of Jesus Catholic Church. That's in Baton Rouge as well.
Father Joshua Johnson.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Bishop Duca will be there. He will be the main celebrant of the Mass. And so they would love to have folks join them. I went a couple of years ago, well before, you know, BC, before COVID. And it was lovely. It was lovely. So I would suggest going. That's Monday, September 5th at 11 a.m. at Sacred Heart of Jesus with the sweet missionaries of Charity
I
Sisters.
I tell you what, they do such good work.
They do.
Humble, silent servants.
Love them. Yes. Love them.
And that's going to be Labor Day weekend then, if it's the Monday, huh?
It will be.
Yeah, the 5th?
Monday the 5th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If you want a shot of joy, you just stop by there.
That'd be good.
Those Missionaries of Charity.
Well, and I did want to say real quick, guys, before we go to break, if anyone has an event in their listening area that they're listening in right now, whether it's their church, parish, or anything, you can send it to us absolutely free to our website at ccradio.live, and we will post it on our calendar. We even have, you know, we've gotten event submissions for RCIA meetings as well. I know that's starting up. I know my church parish are having sign-ups for that. So definitely check that out. And we'd love to get some events to talk about what your parish is up to. So definitely send those our way. Like I said, it's absolutely free. You never know, Damien might talk about it on the morning show as well. But speaking of Damien, when we come back from the break, he's going to be interviewing Father Casey Cole from the Bleacher Brothers. You don't want to miss this interview. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
Welcome back to Wake Up, 35 after the hour on a Tuesday morning. And we are so glad to have back with us Father Casey Cole. And Father Casey Cole and his compadre Roberto Tito Serrano. Boy, if that doesn't sound like baseball players, nothing does. But there are two Franciscan friars who set out to visit 30 Major League Baseball parks this year in 11 weeks. Not only because they love the game of baseball, it's because their friary told them to get the heck out of here. And but they were actually trying to bring God's word to those Catholics and non-Catholics at baseball parks all across the country. We spoke with Father Casey early in the year when they were kicking off this tour. And now, here we are, mid-August. Father Casey, thank you for returning with us. And what happened?
He'll be right back.
Oh, and Father Casey is returning now that they've spent their just about 11 weeks on tour. And we're going to find out exactly what parks and where they went and what did they like and all that good stuff. But I think we just lost him, so we're going to reconnect with him. You see what happens when I put a little tongue-in-cheek?
Right.
And I told him the friars told him to get the heck out of here. And hung up. Yeah, he served me right. But no, anyway, just so you guys know, they started out at the beginning of the year in Miami, and they were wrapping up their tour in San Francisco. Roughly 17,000 miles is what they were trying to cover to get the 30 baseball parks all across the country. So, Father Casey, are you with us now?
I am, yes.
Oh, man, I tell you, I gave you a heck of an introduction. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I was pretty impressed with it.
I tried calling back.
Yeah, but with that being said, how's the tour? It's over. I think the goal was to finish up beginning of August, huh? Were y'all? Yeah, did you achieve your goal?
We are all finished. We are all goaled up. ended up being 18,000 miles, but we got to all 30 ballparks, and it was quite a summer.
Oh, I bet it was. So, tell us real quick, as far as the mission, tell us initially, for those who didn't hear the first interview we had at the beginning of the baseball season, what you guys were setting out to do, and then we'll do a little deep dive into what happened.
Sure. So we just wanted to go out as Franciscan friars in our habits to where people are. We can't wait for them to come to the church. We need to go where they're gathering. And so we thought that baseball stadiums are packed with thousands of people. It's a great place to engage. And so we just walked around the stadiums in our habits, and we prayed with people. We talked to them about the church. We talked to them about baseball. We really just planted seeds, giving them positive images of the church.
So what was your big takeaway? Were you surprised at some of the comments? Were people impressed with the fact of what you were doing? And did you touch a lot of folks in bringing God's word to them?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of great takeaways. One is that the church is really alive in some places.
Good.
We spoke at churches in between the stadiums, and there are some just on fire, and that was really encouraging to see. Some were not, but to see that there were definitely pockets and that the church is there. Another thing we saw as Franciscans, that two by two, there's something to that. Jesus sent them out two by two, not one by one. And it's not just for help. It's not just for safety. When Father Tito and I would separate, one would go to the bathroom, one would get some food, something like that, no one would talk to us. But when we were together, people would come right up to us and talk to us. Because I think when we're alone, we're some crazy guy dressed up. But when we're together, we're a brotherhood. We're something interesting, something inviting. And then, really, I think it gave us a great example for everyone else of how to evangelize. We went out to the world and found good things in the world. Baseball is awesome. We love the tradition. We love the community. We love the ritual. There's a sense of goodness and beauty in it. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we find what is good and we build upon it. We say, if you like all those things, what about the church? I can give you all those things and Christ.
That's beautiful. And you guys, like you said, when you went to the ballparks, you also tried to visit a church, cathedral, or basilica in and around the cities. And I noticed, though, when you got to Atlanta, at least on your agenda, the destination outside Truist Park was Bull Monk Brew.
Yes.
Did you have a cold one to kind of wrap up the tour, or almost wrap up the tour?
Well, you know, we did a lot of theology on taps because that's where people are as well. They're at bars. We met with a lot of young adults. Sometimes they were very big groups. So the one in Atlanta had, I would say, more than 100 people there. And the owner is Catholic, and the diocese invited us to have a theology on tap there. And we talked about our tour, drinking a beer, meeting people where they are.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. So what was your, everybody asked you this question, but I want to know too, what was your favorite ballpark?
You know, there's kind of a first tier, and you could pick any one of them in the top tier. It would be Wrigley in Chicago, it'd be Fenway in Boston, it'd be Petco in San Diego, and Oracle Park in San Francisco. Okay. You pick any one of those, I'm happy.
Yeah, well, look at that. By the way, when you're in San Diego, since they're the Padres, do they accept you a little better than other parks?
It was very tough, and part of it was timing, because we were there for Star Wars Day, and days before Comic-Con was coming.
Yeah, you look like a Jedi.
Wow, we were set up for failure. Luckily, you know, no one really made the connection to Jedi. It really was, we were the mascot. Oh. And we had so many conversations with people where it took 3 minutes to convince them that we were real. And they just thought we were joking.
I bet you were signing autographs that day.
Yeah, I mean, we even got to someone and said, oh, no, we're the real thing. And like, oh, okay. And the one guy's wife's like, God, they're Padres. And we're like, oh, okay, we're cleared up. 10 minutes later, he asked us if it's difficult wearing the head on top. No idea what we're talking about.
No.
And I guess they thought we were the real mascots. Like, no. They're fans of us. We're the original.
So, okay, so you're meeting the fans. But the ballparks, I would think, with good PR, know that you're coming. Any special events that took place? Like, did you get to go and talk to some of the players in the locker room before or after the game and share God's word there? Because there's a lot of Catholic ball players out there.
Yeah, unfortunately, the COVID protocols for players are still pretty strict. So even the media can't have direct access to the players.
Still?
Oh, wow.
But we were able, though, to meet a number of coaches. And we did celebrate Mass twice. So we celebrate Mass in Petco, actually, for the Padres. One of the pitchers there is a very strong Catholic and organizes that and wrangled a couple other Catholics to come together. So we had about 12 people, including some family members and coaches. So that was very cool. But there really wasn't a whole lot of formal events at places. We were given a lot of tours. We were shown the baseball side of things. But in terms of engaging with people, it really was just walking around and having conversations with ordinary people.
Gotcha. When you were at Petco with the Padres, Austin Nola, hometown hero here in Louisiana, actually played at LSU. I'm hoping he attended that Mass. He's a very devout Catholic. He's a catcher for the Padres.
I'm hesitant to say yes or no because I don't want to out him, but yes, he was there.
Love it. Okay. Yes. So did you guys get to not even throw out a first pitch or sing the national anthem or something?
Well, nobody wants us to sing the national anthem, but we did sing take me out to the ball game with the mascot in, nice. In Petco.
Okay.
And we did throughout the first pitch three times.
Wow.
So that was cool. Once was Father Tito by himself. Once was me by myself. And then the third time, we both threw him out at the same time. So that was our coolest.
That's awesome.
Nice. Okay, so what's the goal for next year? Are you guys planning to do this again and now that it was mission accomplished?
You know, probably not. But, you know, we've talked about doing this in smaller doses, going to maybe a 2 weeks' worth of minor league games. Because there's something to going to where people are. And there's something about baseball, as I was mentioning, just the tradition and the community, the ritual, the beauty of the stadium. I do think that there's something particular to baseball, but it is a weird feeling because we started planning this 10 years ago and now, you know, dream has been fulfilled. I don't have a big dream right now. I got to go back to the drawing board, think big thoughts again.
Final 30 seconds. What was the hardest leg or part of the trip?
The last little bit. After being on the road for 11 weeks, we were very toast. We were looking forward to getting home and just very tired.
Well, we enjoy hearing the story. When we initially talked, you were going to take notes and maybe write a book before it's over with. Is that still in the making?
Well, the publisher thought it was in the making, but that was never really a serious thing for me. we shared YouTube videos, given talks, and I think that's about it.
Well, Father Casey Cole, thank you so much for being with us this morning and on your endeavor. It sounded like a great experience, and thanks for sharing it with us here on Wake Up.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, don't go away. It is already 45 after the hour here on Wake Up.
Good morning. It is 48 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado, and we are joined by Dr. Leonard DiLorenzo. He is the Director of Undergraduate Studies at the McGrath Institute for Church Life, where he also serves as Academic Director for Notre Dame Vision, directs the Sullivan Family Saints Initiative, and I don't know how he has time to do all this. He also hosts a popular radio show and podcast, Church Life Today, and he is has a teaching appointment with the Department of Theology. He's also an award-winning author, and that's not enough. He also is an editor, and he's going to talk about one of the latest books he's edited. Good morning, Dr. DiLorenzo.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Good morning. We're so happy to have you. So we're talking this morning about The Chronicles of Transformation, A Spiritual Journey with C.S. Lewis, that's published by Ignatius. I can't tell you, this took me back just thinking about Narnia.
Yeah, how about that? You know, I didn't read it as a child myself. I only started reading The Chronicles of Narnia as an adult and then read it to my children. And I found a real pathway to wonder through these stories, but it took me some time to kind of let down my defenses and become like a child again to really get the full appreciation of it. And I think that's where this volume comes from, is that kind of impulse to rediscover wonder and find something new in something that seems like it's just for children.
Yes, yes. So the Chronicles of Narnia were first published by C.S. Lewis in 1950. It just really took me back just to opening this book and reading it. But here's the big question for you, Dr. DiLorenzo. Can adults return back to Narnia?
You know, I think it's difficult but important, and maybe today more important than ever to do something like this. The way I think we as adults return to Narnia is by finding the ways to allow ourselves to enjoy these stories, which sounds somewhat easy, like I'll just open the book and I'll enjoy it. But I think what we have to do is, like I was saying just a moment ago, allow ourselves to wonder and actually to allow ourselves to enter into the story, to find ourselves challenged by what we find there, to allow ourselves to be drawn into a new imaginative landscape. And for an adult, it might actually be a little bit difficult to do that, but those of us who contributed to this volume and a community of readers that joined us when we first thought about these ideas, we took that risk and we found a great deal of nourishment and great benefit for ourselves, both morally and spiritually, in doing so.
Wow, that's beautiful. So tell us about the book itself. So it takes each of the chronicles, and there are different authors for each chronicle who write about it, correct?
That's right. So there are
There's an essay for each of the seven chronicles, plus an introductory essay that's called Arriving at Narnia. And then what we did is we worked with a couple of different artists to help us complete this book. One is a visual artist by the name of Stephen Barany, who illustrated a fresh illustration for each of the seven chronicles. And these illustrations are really sort of complex and rich in symbolism, but at first glance, they appear very compact and simple. And so those illustrations appear at the front of each chapter. And then we also worked with a poet, Madeline Infantine, who wrote an original poem cycle for the Chronicles. So there's one poem for each of the seven Chronicles. They all fall under the title, Knowing Him Here for a Little. And it's all about the ways in which Aslan, who is the one who drives the entire story, his providence, his power is present, but also at times hidden, so that those who are characters in the story and those of us who are the readers are discovering his beauty and his mystery all throughout. So what you find when you open the Chronicles of Transformation is this collection of illustrations, poetry, and then a contemplative essay on each of the seven Chronicles that helps to draw you back into this space that C.S. Lewis created for children, but not just for children, mm-hmm. so that we may all be nourished together.
Wow, that's wonderful. And so this book gives us the opportunity to reimagine that. It really takes you back, but as you mentioned in the book or the descriptions, to reimagine that mm-hmm. drama and joy of Christianity. And I was reading about that C.S. Lewis, his intent was not for Aslan to be like God. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
You know, by his own telling, C.S. Lewis said that he saw in his own mind's eye a fawn standing next to a lamppost. And that, of course, for those who are familiar with the story, is Mr. Tumnus and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And mm-hmm. he just wanted to tell a story about that. And so he started telling the story. He was writing, in fact, to his goddaughter, whose name was Lucy. And as he was telling this story, this lion just came bounding in into his imagination and into the story. And he was sort of taken by this lion, and everything started to be pulled to this lion. He became the prominent figure in the entire narrative. And through that, he came to write what he later described as a supposal. And the yes. supposal goes like this. It's not a strict allegory. A supposal is this. He said, suppose there is this land called Narnia, and suppose that it needed redemption. How do you suppose it might be redeemed? And this lion, Aslan, is the one who was the redeemer of that land. And that tells us, I think, from the beginning, that we should loosen ourselves from the expectation that this is a strict allegory, that this thing in that land means that thing in our land. Instead, because, as he says, it's a supposal, we're meant to bend our entire imagination to just allowing ourselves to be in that land and to imagine that narrative as it is. And then only by that will we find the fruit that we can take back into our own world.
Wow. Wow. I was not familiar with a supposal until I opened your book. So.
Well, this is one of the things, you know, I myself learned from the person who wrote that opening chapter, for example, David Fagerberg, who's a mm-hmm. Colleague of mine. I learned that from him some years ago. And those are the sort of things like that and many more that I think readers will encounter in this book, and it helps us to kind of reposition and recalibrate ourselves for this kind of literature.
Wow, that's fabulous. Dr. Leonard DiLorenzo, editor of the Chronicles of Transformation, A Spiritual Journey with C.S. Lewis, let our listeners know where they can find a copy.
So as you mentioned earlier, this book is published by Ignatius Press, so it's available at their website and all the other places where you might find books these days. I've got some information on my own website, leonardjdlorenzo.com, if folks would like to visit that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a wonderful book, and we look forward. I think you're working on something else right now, aren't you?
Indeed, I am. I have to go get to it.
Okay. Well, right. We look forward to having you back. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Bye-bye.
The Chronicles of Transformation, A Spiritual Journey with C.S. Lewis, published by Ignatius Press. Check it out. It really took me back mm-hmm. to reading those. So yeah. I think it'll be a great read. So
cool.
Check it out. Yep.
All right. Yep. Well, it's been a great show for sure. And hopefully everyone enjoyed it. We're going to wrap up with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant your church and your people, we pray, Almighty God, that they may have Saint Stephen of Hungary, who fostered their growth while a king on earth, as their glorious defender in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Stephen, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have Johnny Abear with his Gospel Reflection. Peter Finney Jr. with the Clarion Herald. He'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Father Andrew Merrick joins us to talk about vocations in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And Monsignor Christopher Nolte in the Archdiocese joins us to talk about Eucharistic devotion. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Is a production of Catholic Community Radio.